Good morning. Thank you, Janet, for that welcome. Thank you for your welcome this morning. It's great to be in the presence of God and worshiping Him. And let me add my welcome to Janet's welcome from the start, that if you're a guest with us this morning, it's really great to see you. We hope that you feel really welcome here. That's why we say it as often as we can, literally. This morning, I'm going to pick up the third part in our series that we've called Transformed, Reset Your Mind. And 2 weeks ago, Chris White from Texas was here. And those of you who were here, she spoke brilliantly and challenged a lot of our thinking. And she came to some ideas that she brought that have been really helping people. Claire picked up on some of those thoughts last week. And so my job is to continue with that this morning. Let me just say as an introduction that we believe that God wants to transform us. We believe that it's a general biblical principle. We know that He loves us, whoever we are, and whatever we've done. Full stop, nothing can change that. However, His desire for us is that we don't stay in past habits, in past failures, in past disappointments, even in past lifestyle issues, because God actually loves us so much that He wants to transform us into more like His Son. And actually, the best version that we could actually be. So this morning, that's what we're talking about. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we will talk about. Believing that God wants to transform us into the best version of ourselves. And it's God's best version. It's not our best version. So sometimes our comparisons are not always helpful. But we believe that that is what God is wanting to do in us. And not just for our sakes, although you probably realize that if you get transformed into the best version of yourself, that's good news for you. Actually, if we get transformed into the best version of ourselves, it's good news for the people around us and even, big picture, our world, because we have people living on the planet who are God's best version of themselves, and therefore we're best placed to make a difference, which is, of course, what we want to do and be, isn't it? Let me just, on that point, just let me pause for a moment and I just want to encourage you, because I was reflecting back on this week, and Janet mentioned some of the things at the start, but in the life of the church, we desperately want to have the events and activities and the things which will point us towards Jesus, but point other people towards Jesus as well. And I had a quick flick back over this last 7 days in the life of the church. And Sunday evening, we had a great evening here, our first transformed worship night. There was Victoria was here. We had a fantastic evening in God's presence, just worshiping, but allowing Him to speak to us. It was a great night. Then on Tuesday and Friday, some of you won't know this, you see, so it's just a reminder, but in this room, it gets transformed into a place that welcomes probably about 70 toddlers with their parents, grandparents, and carers. And if you ever come, it really does look very different. John's nodding because he's a toddler. He's been here doing some other stuff. And actually, John and Dave were here. If you on your way out back through the back of the building, if you just look up and look at the guttering on the top, just admire for a moment the work that was done on the outside of the building. You remember last week it wasn't grey. This week it's grey, people. That's how exciting it is. And now our prayer is, because we've taken some practical advice, but we're also praying as well, because we're believing in faith that now the water will stop to come into that wall. Anyway, I'm getting a little bit excited, but that was during the week, and then on Tuesday, Storehouse was in the other room, the food bank. Louise and the team, and you remember last week we had a fantastic story of something that had taken place within Food Bank. This week was a little bit different. There was a few challenges. If you saw the pane of glass that was missing on the front, that happened during Food Bank. So anyway, don't worry about it, because the team are fantastic, but they're actually meeting people's needs and helping people and supporting people. But sometimes, let's just say that was a challenge. But that was here on Tuesday evening. Alpha was here. Victoria is a big Alpha fan as well. That was here. On Thursday evening, here in the centre, was the youth night. So I can't remember the numbers. Someone did tell me, but there were young people, mainly from outside of church, 25 or so, were here in the centre as part of our youth night. On Friday evening, Janet's already mentioned the Valentine disco. There was people car washing yesterday. And it got me thinking, you know, if you're part of Ashwood Church, you might not have known all the things that were going on in the life of the church. But I don't know about you, but I just thought, oh, that's a church I'd like to be part of. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. So I just wanted to encourage you this morning that there's transformation going on, and some of it is behind the scenes and some of it is up front, but a lot of it takes place behind the scenes. But I think that we can be encouraged. And of course, when we say what does the Bible say about being transformed? It says this: be transformed. How? If you want to know how to be transformed, the Bible tells us, Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is. And actually, it sounds straightforward, doesn't it? If you're answering the question, we want to be transformed, how do we do it? It's all got to do with our mind. And this morning, I'm believing that there is a little bit more transformation. There's some more transforming that God wants to do in us before he does it through us. And I want to talk about attitudes, but before I do that this morning, I just want to pick up on one of the central themes that is part of this series, and it's another really important scripture that's from 2 Corinthians. And we're unashamedly going to repeat ourselves in these Sunday series, because we believe that actually God speaks to us. It's not what's new that sets us free, it's what's true that sets us free. And this is true. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, important word, strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And this is such an important part of this series on renewing our minds. If we get hold of this, and I know many of you will have thought about this before, but actually this is so critical that if we can take captive every thought, then something can really shift. And one of our friends looks at this verse, and I love the way he does it, and actually looks at it in reverse. And I thought I'd like to just do a quick practical example, so I'm going to need some help from you, if that's all right. Jono's already volunteered. He came and sat on the front row next to me. He said, Matt, is there anything I can do this morning? I said, yeah, no problem. So, John, if you could just bring your chair and put it here for us a moment. This won't hurt. But I realize that the best way, you can sit on it as well, yeah. I realize the best way to understand this verse is actually probably by some kind of illustration. So I just need, you can sit there, you don't really have to do anything. I just need six people who are just going to help me. Victoria, I thought your hand might be first. If you'd like to just come and hold one of these boxes, and then if the other five people, if you're ready, you don't know who you are yet, and I don't either, but I'd like you to just come and, oh, here they are. Oh, yes, thank you, yes. Just grab a box each, and then just a small line there would be absolutely, absolutely perfect. Yeah, that is great. There's just one more. So if you think about this verse in terms of thoughts, arguments, and strongholds, then think about it really practically for a moment. So here's Jono. He's got a lot of thoughts, and sometimes they're good, and sometimes they're not so good. That's right, Jono, isn't it? I'm not saying things that aren't real. And so sometimes I think it kind of works like this. So Jono's just going on about his daily business. He's working hard, and he's loving his wife, and he's got lots of activities and things going on in his life. But then something happens, and Brian ignores him and doesn't speak to him, And then Jono thinks to himself, he thinks, well, maybe Brian doesn't think, you know, I'm any good. And then what happens is it's only a thought, but it's just a thought that's in his mind. And that's all it is. But then he starts to think a little bit further, and he thinks, He says, come to think of it, you know, Brian didn't talk to me. I didn't feel any love from him. I didn't feel that it was any good. And actually, you know, sometimes, to be honest, I don't feel very good myself. So actually, and then he starts agreeing with that thought. And then he's got a couple of thoughts now. And then he starts to think a little bit further, and he says, well, actually, you know, nothing very good ever seems to happen to me. And then this thought starts to build up around him as well. And he says, nothing ever good seems to happen to me, especially compared to other people. And you know, comparison is a killer. You know, how many times do our thoughts point us towards comparison? If you find that's the way you're thinking, then this kind of stuff just starts to happen. And then Jono, because you know he's a Christian, he says, "Well, where's God in all this?" Simple question: where is God in all of this? And sometimes things just fall apart, and you know you think you've got everything held together, and it just falls on the floor, and that's the way it happens. And so Jono, he's had these initial thoughts, but now he's starting to even question God. You know, where is God in the midst of all of this? And another box comes. You can go on top of one of these, Elaine. And Jono starts to even question, you know, where is God in the middle of his challenges and stuff that goes on? And then he realizes that he's heard that God is good, but this kind of, as he's feeling these emotions and sensing these thoughts, he starts to question even that. And thoughts start to come to him like, is God really good anyway? And another box comes. You could do the face thing. Yeah, why not? Jono starts to wonder whether God is good, and he starts to even question and challenge some of the things that he's heard right from when he was younger about God's goodness and God's kindness. And before you know it, there's another box that's landed on top of him. And do you see what happens with this Bible verse? That this, and although it's, you can see it's a bit of fun, hopefully you see the way that it works in your thought life. Are people nodding? Because actually, something that starts with an initial thought that was about Brian can end up with Jono doubting whether God is good and whether God even cares about him, whether he loves him. And sometimes we have thoughts that bring a friend and create an argument, and then an argument that creates a stronghold, and a stronghold is pretty devastating because it basically creates something that is fortified and means that we don't actually see the truth anymore. The good news, of course, is that that Paul says in Corinthians, he says that actually we've got weapons that will demolish strongholds. So this isn't the end game, but it's really important, therefore, if we take a step back. So strongholds can be demolished. We believe that, we've seen it true, and those of you who've clicked Quick Plug for Freedom in Christ course, something that is really helpful as we seek to, Claire was talking last week about search and replace some of the thoughts that come into our minds to see them removed, and we see freedom come. But actually, as we demolish the strongholds, just go back to the start. The first thing we do, if we could have avoided all this, if right at the start, Jono had took captive every thought. All he had to do was take captive this thought, and then all the other friends wouldn't have been there. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for the illustration. Thank you for your thoughts, Jono. You can stay there. I like you on the front row. It's good. Unless Beth would like to sit next to you. I wasn't trying to. And I was thinking about this week, I think it's totally true that if we don't take captive every thought, sometimes our every thought takes captive of us. And we end up in a boxed-in, messed-up mess. And today I want to, with that as the kind of backdrop and the introduction, does that make sense? Does that make sense to people? Yeah. I want to talk about attitudes, which are a part of our thought process, part of our thinking, and just have a share a few things, and then we'll pray and we're done. Is that okay? Yeah. So, just let me say this. In our Sunday meetings, we always want to be talking about things that are relevant, that are helpful, and that point us to Jesus. That's really what we're all about in our Sunday, as we share things on a Sunday morning. And the reason we're talking about attitudes, because I guess that most of us know people who we would, if I said to you, do you know anybody who you would say has got a really good attitude? There's people that you go, ah, yes, I think of someone right now. That's the person that I would recognize as having whatever your definition is of a good attitude. I think we could all think of people who we know who would say have a good attitude, right? Also, flip side, I guess if we asked you, and please don't put your hand up and please don't shout out, but there may be people that you know who you would recognize have not always got a good attitude. Does anybody know somebody like that and what that looks like? And I think if we're honest, that most of us would say that actually, whether we feel that we're closer to one end of the spectrum or the others, all of us have got some place that we could go to improve, which is why talking about attitudes this morning, I think, is applicable, it's relevant, it's relatable, and we can all have some movement in terms of our attitudes. Are you on the same page as me? So what does the Bible say about attitude? Good question. Ephesians chapter 4. Words will be on the screen. You can follow in your Bibles if you'd like to. The Apostle Paul, the writer to the church in Ephesus, is giving some help on living well, and he specifically talks about attitude. He says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." He says, "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed." It's not very, it's not glowing in terms of what Paul is describing, is he? But of course, he's making a comparison. He says, "That, however, is not the way of life you've learned when you heard about Christ. You were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind." So he's specifically addressing this whole thing of attitude, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So Paul's making this comparison between the old way of thinking, the old attitudes, if you like, and he talks about the futility of the old way. He said, talks about it being darkened in their understanding, leading to hardening of hearts, and then talks about some of the implications of that in terms of impurity and greed, and there's stuff that, of course, we wouldn't want to be associated with. They're things that we would love to have removed from our thinking, because clearly they are unhelpful. And he says that actually when Jesus came, everything changed. So this is part of the transformation that happens when we are in Christ, as Paul describes it. He says that what happens is we put off the old way of living and thinking, and we're made new in the attitude of our mind. So this is good news, isn't it? If you want to have good attitudes, then actually you can be made new. And we are made new, Paul explains to us, and the Bible tells us that we are made new. Our attitudes do shift. Something happens when we are in Christ. So if that's you and that's me, then there is a shift that has already taken place. And the attitude of our mind has been made new. Jesus gives a great illustration and he talks about wineskins in Luke chapter 5. He says, he's given an illustration. He says, "And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine, ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins." And effectively, he's saying the same thing. He's saying there has to be something new that takes place. The old mind, the old mindset, the old attitude, the old way of thinking needs to go, because it needs to be replaced by something new. In other words, a new wineskin. And this word attitude, it comes from the Latin word for posture or stance. So if we have a new attitude, then we effectively have a new posture and a new stance towards what's going on in our lives. It's good news. It's a new position. It's a new stance. And it's a new attitude. So when we embrace the new life that Jesus wants us to live, we also embrace a new way of thinking. It's part of the package. It's part of what happens. And this being made new that Paul talks about here, it isn't a natural change. It's a supernatural and spiritual change. It's a new perspective on life, and it shifts our attitudes. Basically, it's a new wineskin. It's a new paradigm, if you like that word. It shifts from the old way to the new way. Very different. And of course, God never just gives us a set of instructions and says, this is what you've got to do, crack on with it. What he actually wants to do is he wants to help be working through us by his Holy Spirit so that he paints a picture of this is what it looks like. But then he says, I'm going to help you get there, which is the wonderful thing about being in with the God that we worship, that is a relational God who wants to walk with us, be with us, and help us towards becoming the best version of ourselves. And there's this great phrase in terms of the importance of attitude, and I love this. It has to be American, but that doesn't cause me any issues, that says, attitude, not aptitude, affects your altitude. And I checked who it was who came up with that, and this is someone's name. John's nodding. Do you know Zig? John has seen Zig Ziglar, and so he knows that it's a real person, and that must really be his name. I did check it out, and Google told me, so it must be accurate and reliable. That this guy says Zig, what a name. Is that something to do with the Spice Girls as well? Is that where? No, that's not. That's something different. Attitude, not aptitude, affects our altitude. And you think, yeah, okay, cheesy American statement, but how true is it in real life? How many people can recognize that actually this actually just makes a lot of sense? Our attitude affects our altitude. You say, well, I was thinking about this yesterday, there's a shift that can take place, and those of you who've experienced the shift that takes place know what a difference it makes. I got this quote yesterday as well. It says, starting the day with a great attitude makes the day better before you even start it. Do you like that? Yeah. It might not have been original, but it was my thought. So I probably heard it somewhere else. But I realized that actually, I think this is totally true. If attitude is about perspective, then we can actually make a difference to our day. Do you ever think that? You can actually make a difference to your day depending on your attitude at the start of it. And you might say, okay, this is good stuff, it's positive attitude. But what happens when people do things or situations occur that aren't good, that are outside of your control? Anybody ever hear someone say, he made me so angry? Anybody ever hear someone say, I was so frustrated with the IT system? Anyone ever hear someone say, the referee gave a penalty to them, but didn't give a yellow card to us? Anyone ever heard anyone talk to the referee? She did this, and it made me so annoyed. Question is it inevitable that these external factors have to have an effect on our attitude? This is good, Lauren, this is, isn't it? Well, I think it's not always popular, but I think it's 100% true that actually we can't determine everything that happens around us, but we can make the choice on our attitude. So I understand completely when someone says to me, he made me so angry. I understand that completely. But actually, we have a choice as to whether we want to be angry or not. I mean, with the IT system, I'm not sure there is a choice. I'm kidding, there's always a choice. Because the reality is that even though we can't always affect our circumstances, we can always choose how we respond to our circumstances. And those people who you might know who seem to manage to have a great attitude are the people who are able to make a great choice about their situation and their circumstances. Exactly. And I think that is totally clear. So actually, we have a choice, which is why taking captive is so important. We have a choice whether or not that whether or not we are angry, whether or not we are jealous, whether or not we are bitter, whether or not we take offense. We actually have a choice. And I don't know if sometimes we recognize the power that that is in our hands in terms of the choices that we can make. Does that mean it's easy? No. Does that mean that the circumstances that are surrounding us are going to be perfect and in line and make having an easy attitude straightforward for the rest of our lives? It seems unlikely. But actually, with God's help and taking captive every thought, I think we can make a difference. Anyone want to see a shift in their attitude? Me too. And if you want to know one of the best keys to a healthy, positive attitudes, then I think one of the best things that one of the tools, and we sang about it this morning, one of the tools in our toolbox is praise. Because what happens when we praise God and when we worship Him and when we focus on Him, it's very difficult to be praising God and also harboring thoughts of bitterness and offense and unforgiveness and even fear. Because when you see how great God is and you worship Him for who He is, then there's not enough space. Our minds aren't that clever. They can't do two things at once. If you're focused on God and who He is and what He's doing, it's much easier to then move on from the things that are causing us challenges in our circumstances. If you praise, I think something has to shift. How many people could give us stories of where you've done that and you know that it makes a difference? Shift happens. One of my favorite examples, one of my favorite stories on this is the time when the Apostle Paul is with his buddy Silas and they get thrown into a prison cell. It goes like this. This is the context. They grab Paul and Silas, drag them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in uproar. The whole city is in uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials. They're teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed. These stories, you just hear snapshots, don't you? But a mob quickly formed, that's all we get. But presumably that took some time and there was people rallying around for support and gathering friends and saying, we've got to do something about this. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. The city officials ordered them. All they've done is heard their reports. They get stripped. They get beaten with wooden rods. And then Luke, who wrote Acts, he wants to really make this point clear. He says they were severely beaten. It wasn't just, you know, how you got the different ratings of beatings. This was severely beaten. They were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape. So the jailer knows what to do. If this is the instruction, he puts them in the inner dungeon and clamps their feet in stocks. Now, I don't know what your definition of a bad day is, but this, you know, could be one that you might conjure up in terms of, you know, think. I mean, we have difficulties if we can't get a phone signal, don't we? We're in crisis if Netflix is buffering, you know. But this seems like a pretty serious set of circumstances. And I guess the question for us is, you know, what's your attitude like when you find yourself severely beaten in the stocks, the inner dungeon, you know, mobs, people against you? I don't know what's the most painful thing, whether it's people against you or wooden rods, I don't know. But anyway, if you've got both, you don't necessarily need the comparison. It's just bad news. But it was definitely a bad day. And yet, in verse 25, we see how Paul and Silas respond. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That was their response. That was their action. They're having a prison praise party, and you can see that. I mean, the great news is what happens next is there's an earthquake and things, the chains fall off and they escape. But of course, they may have had an insight that was going to happen because the Holy Spirit might have told them. But other than that, we don't know that they're thanking God for what's going to happen. They just made a decision to be praising and thanking God. And as a side, I'm pretty sure that actually this is the same for us. As we praise, there is breakthrough and there's freedom that takes place. But you can see their example in terms of attitude. This morning, of course, we've sung, you know, you like the song, the singer, Hallelujah. We sang, didn't we? I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Well, I guess Paul and Silas are acting out what that actually looks like in the middle of the storm. They're found to be singing, worshiping. They're going to let their praises rise. Maybe they use this song. I don't know. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. And of course, when we sing these words, you know, they sound kind of triumphalistic and euphoric, and you kind of think, you know, it's a bit of backslapping, kind of, yeah, that's what we're going to do. But actually, you know, don't allow your thinking to be robbed of the fact that these are truth principles that we get to put into practice. You know, that is an outworking, it's an expression of things which are going to do us good and give us, it's not just good advice, it's a spiritual principle that we put into practice that actually shifts things in our thinking, in our attitudes, and therefore an outworking in our lives as well. And of course, simply praising God for who he is, because he's worthy of praise. And I don't know, but my guess is that Paul and Silas, as they find themselves in the prison cell, that actually, you know, they may be thanking God for the stuff around them, but I'm pretty sure that they're thanking God for who he is, because he's always worthy of praise. He's always worthy of our thanks. He's always he's always to be lifted high. And I guess that's what they were doing. You know, there's always something to be thanking God for. So Paul and Silas can find it. And sometimes if you're struggling, you can just turn to the attributes of God. You know, some of the things we declare in our, that's why the songs that we use on a Sunday hopefully are helpful, because it means that, you know, during the week, if you find yourself stuck somewhere, that you can actually remember the tune, the melody, and then, but of course, more importantly, the words to make declarations about who God is, and as well as what he's done for us. But there's always something to be thankful for. If you've got a job today, then you can be thankful that God is providing for you. If you're in the place where you're looking for work, then maybe today you're thanking God because you haven't got a bad job. You know, if you're, there's always, in every circumstance, every situation that we find ourselves, there is always opportunities for us to find thanks to God. I've got one final attitude shifter, and as I was praying throughout the whole of this week, really, I think this is the thing that's probably come to the surface as I've been preparing and praying for us together as church. Because, and I think if we look back to our worship, there was a real strong thread of this coming through as well. But those of you who enjoy reading the Bible, there are Bible scholars talk about the book of Romans as kind of being the theological Himalayas in terms of expressing what God's view is of us, but also many of the key principles of the faith that we believe as Christians. And if Romans is the Himalayas, then Romans chapter 8 is Mount Everest, because there is so much in that is just incredibly mind-blowing, not just mind-renovating, in terms of the truth. And you know, if you ever find yourself in a place where you're stuck, then Romans chapter 8 is a great place to have bookmarked in your Bible for lots and lots and lots of different reasons. But this morning, the thing that I felt really strongly is a very simple verse that comes right in the middle of this passage. And I think if we take hold of this morning, that actually our attitudes could shift tremendously. And it's this: all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things, in fact, let's say this together. All things are working together for my good. All things are working together for my good. All things are working together for my good. For my good. And you know, today I think feel so strongly that God wants us to know this is true. And all things are working together for your good. Did you know that God is intentional about that? Amen. It's not something that, you know, there's a mess or there's a set of circumstances that happen and God goes, whoops. God isn't a whoops God. And he goes, I'm just going to have to work this around and, you know, I've got something here which is not quite gone the way I wasn't expecting that. And now we've got to do something different because God, whatever circumstance we face, if this is true, then it has to shift our attitude. So whatever your circumstances are today, whatever the storm is today in your life or in the lives of those around you, those who you love, if this is true, then this shifts the whole of our attitude because whether your circumstances, whether God has done what you expected to happen, if all things are working together for your good, then actually your perspective on what is good may not be the same as God's perspective. And there may be some things that are happening that are going on right now which look like and appear in terms of our perspective as though things are in a mess, where actually God is working together all things for our good. So even on your darkest day, God is still working together all things for your good. So even when we're suffering grief and loss, God, in his kindness and his love, is working together things for our good. Because he can do that, because he's God. I love one of the lines in the song we sang that said, I'm going to sing, you know, even in the mystery, I'm going to sing. And this verse causes a lot of questions, doesn't it? Because we can throw it back to God and say, God, I can't see how you are working together all things for my good in this circumstance. When this happened to me or those around me, I can't see. Of course, let's be really careful with our thinking. We're not saying that when bad stuff happens, God sends bad stuff to happen, because I don't believe that's true. So when we talk of illness and sickness in our lives, don't believe that actually that God sends illness and sickness into our lives. But God can still work all things together for our good. So if you have sickness in your body today, then my prayer is that it's healed in Jesus' name. And we believe as spirit-filled Christians that that's what we can pray and that's what we can ask for. That we've seen people healed. You know, we have a great story even this week in one of our life groups. As the life group prayed for someone, we'll try and get the story and share it with you. The life group prayed, and quite miraculously, quite suddenly, there was someone's body was free from pain. They were able to do the things that they couldn't do, and the life group were rejoicing because of what had taken place. That's a great story. Thank God. Praise God for that. And we believe that that's the God that we serve. But even on the days when we don't see that, God is still working together. Amen. All things is quite a lot, isn't it? All things. It doesn't leave space or scope for anything to be outside of that. There's no footnote that says, oh, by the way, all things. It's not like an insurance policy that says all things apart from flood damage, natural disasters. You know, if this is true, all things really means all things. And so when Jono was sat here at the start and he's questioning whether God really is good, then he can look to this verse and say, well, if this is true, I'm okay because my God is working together all things for my good. And I think this morning, some of us, all of us, need to know that that's true. And as our minds are renewed, maybe the transformation that takes place is we don't just know it in our minds, but we operate out of a lifestyle of choices which recognizes that this is the case. And we encourage one another as well that actually this is the case. God is working all things together for my good. I believe that we are called to be a community of believers who speak this message to one another, but also to a world who desperately needs to know that the God of Romans 8, whose love is so high, so deep, that there's nothing that can separate us from it. They need to know it too, don't they? And we're going to pray now. I've got a prayer which is adapted from Chris's book. I know some of you are reading that. I think it's really helpful. I know Chris was here 2 weeks ago and she's got this book called Mind Renovation, 21 Days. And some of what we're talking about is helped and linked to that. So I've got a prayer that we can pray together. But I wonder if we just pause for a moment just to allow God to speak to us individually. You know, maybe this morning there's one thing that you need to be aware of that you need to take away with you. Maybe God was speaking to you about something specific in your situation. Maybe God wants to shift attitudes this morning. I actually believe he does. That he wants to shift some things in our thinking. He's going to remove some stuff. Last week, we talked about search and replace. Well, I believe God's doing that in these weeks that we are understanding and we're allowing him to speak to us. And of course, we're always keen that we find what God is saying to us specifically. We want to be known as a people who respond to what God says to us. So I'm just going to pause for a moment and then we'll put this prayer on the screen. And if you want to use these words as part of your response this morning, then you can do that too. But let's just pause for a moment, maybe close our eyes, just reflect. Holy Spirit, just come and highlight to us the areas where you want to pinpoint things in us, in our thinking this morning. I believe, God, that you want to transform our minds. Do what you want to do this morning, God. Amen. Why don't we stand together? And this is my response prayer. If you would like to pray this, you're welcome to do that. Never any pressure, but always want to facilitate our response to God's word and his thoughts to us. So if you'd like to pray this, then let's use these words together. Father, today I let go of all my bad attitudes that are centered on my opinions and myself. I pray for revelation that brings revolution to my thoughts. Holy Spirit, show me any areas where I've limited my thinking that have affected my attitude. I take control of my emotions and feelings. I hold the key to my attitude, and I have submitted to you, Lord. I exalt your truth above my feelings. Make me new in the attitude of my mind. This week, help me to learn to take captive every thought. I choose today to believe that all things are working for my good. I am in Christ, and it's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen.